All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking. I'm Frank Maloney with my able-bodied host, co-host, Jim Hobgood. And tonight in the studio, we've got Tim Sherman, former UVA quarterback from the 90s. We're glad to have Tim with us. Tim, how does UVA prepare for this tough trip down to Death Valley when you consider that UVA has only won three times in Death Valley historically? That's a tough stat. They're 3-19. How do we get over that?
Well, every kind of bullet point about this upcoming game is tough because the team now knows they can't get to bowl eligibility, so there will be no postseason appearance this year. So for the senior guys, that's obviously unfortunate and not the way they want to end their career. So you got to take that into account that people think, well, are they just going to quit on the season? And I will say wholeheartedly no. I was fortunate during my tenure we weren't in that scenario, but these guys are out there competing every week. They know these next two games are on national television, so nobody wants to go out and have a poor performance in that type of scenario. So they will come ready to go. Coach Groh will have them ready to go. So they got to look at Death Valley as, hey, it's another place. They've played strongly on some of the away games so far this year. There's no reason they can't go down there and compete and pull out. And it would be an upset. I mean, that's the bottom line of the game coming this weekend. But I think we have the talent and tools to do it. But, again, it's going to be a near-perfect game plan to do that.
Give us I was just going to jump in and give us a little breakdown on Clemson. I know they got good running backs, Spiller and so forth, and they have some real talent down there. What's your assessment of the Clemson team?
As always, they're athletic. They're putting up a lot of points on the board. They're over, I think, 45 points a game since they had a loss at Maryland earlier in the season.
They're averaging 42.
And this is a different scenario for them. Usually they come out of the gates like barn busters and then struggle down the stretch. But now they're in the running with BC to make it to the ACC championship game. I think they're focused. They're playing well. I've seen a couple of their games recently. They've got everything running on full cylinders. So it's going to be tough. They're not going to overlook us. I think Virginia's given Clemson some headaches in the past. We haven't always pulled out wins down there or in Charlottesville for that matter. So they won't look past us. They know a loss at any point in the season is going to be tough, but not, even more so now with their stretch run with Boston College.
This is a big game for them because I think if they beat Virginia, I think they clinch the Atlantic Division and they're in the championship game versus Georgia Tech.
Well, it's interesting the way this whole season has played out. This is certainly one of the more interesting years. I mean, Georgia Tech has basically asserted its dominance with that option offense to take command of the Coastal at 7-1. By the same token, you've had two teams battle nip and tuck, really, from the beginning of the season. Clemson is sitting at 5-2. Boston College is 4-2. You have to expect that BC is going to find a way to close the deal come down the stretch. And Clemson, has to make its move right now.
So this game, I think Boston College lost to Clemson, so Clemson has the tiebreaker. So if Clemson beats Virginia, that wraps up their conference season at 6-2. So that means they clinch and they're in the title game in Tampa.
But the rub is they've got to play Virginia. That's the key.
Well respect all, fear none. But they're playing at home, and this game means a lot to them because I'm not sure Clemson has been in the ACC title game since they went to the divisional format. So this is an opportunity for them to get to the title game and win a conference. I go way back to the 1970s where Clemson won all the time. Prior to Florida State being in the league, Clemson used to be the dominant football school in the ACC.
It was 29 straight against Virginia, I believe was the number.
We were, what did Frank Howard say, white meat for a long time there.
Well, I just found an interesting statistic here. In the last five meetings between these two schools, Clemson won a tough game last year in Charlottesville. As you remember, Ogletree was called for offensive pass interference on the bomb that he scored on. Otherwise, that game goes down to the wire. In 04, Virginia beat Clemson 30-10, mind you. In 2003, Clemson edged Virginia in overtime 30-27. The year before that, Virginia defeated Clemson 22-17. And then in 01, Virginia beat a ranked Clemson team 26-24. So Al Groh actually has done reasonably well against Clemson. And I would be surprised if this game isn't, a white-knuckle affair, assuming people are healthy enough and looking at the depth chart and all that maybe Jameel gets a little healthier this week, was able to practice all week. Maybe Mikel is feeling better since, his sprained neck situation a few games back. I don't know. I think this game is...
Yeah, it could be competitive. And as Tim said, I mean, these last 2 weeks are Virginia's bowl games. You know, they're not looking forward to postseason, so this is their postseason. But, Tim, before we went on the air, you made reference to the fact that Virginia has not thrown the ball down the field enough. Explain that relative to what impact that's had on the offense.
Well, a quarterback, I think, is always going to tell you that you should throw deep and throw deep three out of three plays. But
Jerry Bradshaw
exactly,
attitude.
Yeah. My philosophy growing up in the sport was also, hey, if it's third and long and you're not pinned deep in your own territory, throw a deep ball down the sideline. If it gets intercepted, it's effectively a punt.
Right.
We don't seem to take that approach. We don't throw the ball downfield too much. And I've always thought, or it just seems to me, that if you can't stretch the defense like that, then they're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. And until they respect your deep threat, they've got eight people, nine people up at the line. And if you don't have a Tiki Barber or someone like that, you're not going to get yardage on the ground without that vertical passing.
Well, that not only affects your running game, I would think it would affect your short passing game, too, because you've got the linebackers.
Everything's crowded.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's no space.
In more interesting statistics, it's interesting that both, you know, what are the gaps between these teams, you know, rushing offense? Clemson is averaging about 77 more yards on the ground than Virginia, but Rayshon Jackson's healthy again. If Mikhail's back, maybe they can close that gap some and keep the time of possession closer. Rushing defense, believe it or not, the two teams are very close in that regard. Pass offense, here is their Achilles. Clemson has thrown 10 INTs this year, Virginia only 8. And lately, Jameel has not been throwing INTs. He only had one against BC, and he's in the last couple of games prior to that, he was pretty careful with the football. If Virginia can play a little bit more error-free and maybe somehow the Virginia defense can rattle their quarterback, who knows?
Well, the one thing, and not to jump in on Tim, but again, as a novice, turnovers are always key, and you would think Virginia going down there as an underdog, they're going to have to win the turnover battle to have an opportunity to win the football game.
I would agree. I think something's going to have to happen to give us an advantage. I think out of the gate, we got to make sure that Spiller or someone on their team doesn't break something open and get them ahead of us by a touchdown or more early on, because I just don't think our offense is suited right now to play catch-up. But the secondary of the Virginia defense, I think, has been the strength this year. Dowling, Cook have played well. The safeties have done a good job. And the linebackers have performed well also. So if those guys can get a pick, you know, run one back for a touchdown, that's fantastic. That helps the overall
excitement level. One last thing. I think we've got to go to break shortly. But just from a football player perspective, it must be fun to go to a place like that. 81,000 people will be there. It's going to be a great atmosphere. So even as a visiting player, it's got to be exciting.
Absolutely.
To play in that kind of
it's
situation.
It's fun to experience that. I was fortunate enough. We played at Florida State. We played at Death Valley. Played at the up in Michigan, which was probably the biggest, 108,000 people all yelling at you. But it is. It's great. College football, that's what it's all about. It's fun. Those guys will enjoy it, and hopefully if they win, that'll be even more.
But Clemson, the upper deck, the angle of that upper deck is, I mean, it looks like it just goes straight
it's
up.
It's pretty steep. They might slide down on top or fall to the sideline. You're right, and actually that's how Michigan is too. It's just a bowl, and it goes straight up, and the noise all stays right there. So it's
So
it's
even as a visiting player, it gets the adrenaline rolling, I would think. Yeah.
It's fun to play in those environments.
Absolutely.
Tim, couple questions we'd like to ask our guests. Number one, your favorite moment as a Wahoo football player?
I'll give you two quick ones. So I wasn't the starter this year as Mike Groh, but obviously in 95 on Thursday night when we beat Florida State, there's just something about that game that you can't compare it to anything else. The atmosphere, it was, as we just talked about, Jim, the excitement level in that game was unbelievable, and we pulled that win off. And then my senior year, when we came back against a top-five-ranked North Carolina team on senior day, the guys that I graduated with, that was an exciting day when we came back down 17-3 in the fourth quarter to win 2017.
I also seem to remember UVA just stomping the grapes out of Texas in the rain, and you running down the sideline with a grin on your face on a quarterback option play.
It's kind of like a student body left. They said, roll out. If he's not open, just go. And like you said, we had a convoy ahead of us. That was an interesting game. Ricky Williams had some comments in the press before, and our defense put it, their focus was making sure he didn't have a big game. And I think I might have had more rushing yards than him that game, which says how well they did.
Well, we would like to have you back down the road. You've been a pleasure to talk to tonight. And, Jim, any comments?
No, absolutely. And you have a great voice, by the way. You ought to think about a radio program these days.
But that's where the big money must be.
It's been a real thrill having you here. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take our second break right now, and on the other side, we're going to be bringing on Corey Alexander to sort of break down the UVA basketball season, two games in with Ryder right around the corner. And I know Jim Hobgood is chomping at the bit again to talk hoops, but it's been a lot of fun having Tim Sherman on tonight. We're going to take our second break now.